I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Hope you had a good weekend. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show.
Hi there.
Louisiana native Terry Bradshaw is in some hot water.
Ew.
You know what? I've always, when we talk about quarterbacks, you know, people call Tom Brady the GOAT, the greatest of all time, and He definitely hit. I mean, he's got more Super Bowl rings now than any other quarterback. You know, Joe Montana's in that discussion. Nobody ever talked about Terry Bradshaw as the greatest of all time. Four rings.
Well, it's 40-plus years ago, too.
But you never heard his name mentioned, and I always thought, boy, he's got to be in the conversation as well. Well, Terry Bradshaw is taking some heat over the last few days because of a comment he made. Did you see this? And these days, you know, Terry Bradshaw, he's on the Fox NFL Sunday, the pregame show to the football games.
Well, pregame, halftime.
Yep.
Some postgame.
Last week, he called comedian Ken Jeong.
Oh, no.
The little short guy from Japan, unquote.
And a couple of things wrong with that.
Well, we'll explain. This is how he said it. Quote, I love to sing, and as all of you know who have my records, unfortunately, I was kicked off by Alan Thicke and the little short guy from Japan. Terry Bradshaw was referring to the late Alan Thicke's son, Robin Thicke, and the Detroit, Michigan-born Ken Jeong. And Ken Jeong's parents immigrated from South Korea.
Not Japan.
No. He said that on the television show The Masked Singer, which is on Fox, which is on the same network that he's employed by.
Well, today, anyway.
Well there are
or
some...
When we most recently checked.
There are some people that are just livid at Terry Bradshaw. Well, they always said he was never known for his brains. And now, they always said that about Terry Bradshaw, and I know quarterback is the most difficult position to play in all the sports, but even when I was a kid, I remember my father, when the Steelers were winning Super Bowls, saying, yeah, that dummy who plays quarterback for the Steelers.
And despite what Terry Bradshaw might think, he shouldn't be remembered for his singing either.
I missed that episode of The Masked Singer. Anyways,
millions of people are waiting in line with you that can make that claim.
Anyways, now, well, he has since apologized for his, quote, insensitive remark, unquote. Again, Ken Jeong, who he referred to as the short, little short guy from Japan, a funny guy. He's a medical doctor. Not only is he a medical doctor, he's a Duke University graduate. He was most notably came to fame in the Hangover movie,
mm-hmm.
And now he's taken that and made a huge career out of it. Very funny guy, but when the guy's from America, when he was born in America, and his parents immigrated from South Korea, and Terry Bradshaw referred to him as the little short guy from Japan. I don't think South Koreans like being called Japanese, and I don't think Japanese people like being called that kind of thing.
And as it turns out, no one likes ignorance. And people who say things on national television, or at least on The Masked Singer, without having their facts correct.
He wasn't the only guy he got wrong. Remember, he said, I was kicked off The Masked Singer by Alan Thicke. Alan Thicke's been dead for years. It's Robin Thicke, right, his son, who kicked him off. And then the Detroit, Michigan-born Ken Jeong, and the little short guy from Japan who kicked Terry Bradshaw off The Masked Singer. A quick question for you. Now, again, Terry Bradshaw apologized. He said, quote, I made an insensitive remark about Ken, who I've known for some time. I've spoken to him about the importance of cultural respect and apologize for my offensive comments. I would like to also apologize to the Asian American community for my insensitivity. Well, you could apologize to every South Korean as well, who you just referred to as Japanese.
Hmm.
Do you think he'll survive this? Because in this day and age, Brewster, day and age in 2019, you make a comment like that? I'm surprised Robin Thicke wasn't doing backflips and saying, "But you called me my dead father."
I don't know. I guess we'll see.
And obviously, Terry Bradshaw meant no harm by it. I'm sure Terry Bradshaw is not a racist, but he looked at Ken Jeong and he just, you know, there are several Asian nations. He just guessed wrong, I guess, when he said the little guy from Japan. Maybe he would have gotten away with the little guy from South Korea, even though he was born in Detroit, but his parents were from South Korea. And some people got upset. But since Terry Bradshaw apologized, I think he will be okay. I think we will continue to see him on the NFL pregame show on Fox on Sundays. But I just thought that was interesting when I saw that. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. The classic rock of New Orleans. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. Hope you had a good weekend. I did. We had a good time over at the annual Bayou Bash and Boil this past Saturday.
We had a blast over there.
Yeah, it was a really
ton of people showed up.
Really good time over
there. Thank you. Yeah, thank you for that.
Felix is on the lakefront. What a cool place to hang out. Felix's is right there on the lake. Great time. And those were some of the biggest crawfish I've ever seen. Did you see the size of those things? I know they were going, we were doing $2 a pound cooked and prepared for you.
Right.
And
the cool thing was right when we got done at 3 o'clock and had some prize winners, and thank you for coming out and registering, and some folks went home happy with some station swag and tickets and whatnot. The lady comes up and says, "That's it for the crawfish. The 1,000 pounds are gone." Almost right on the dot at the time that we were done.
It timed out well.
It was perfect.
But I saw the people with the big plates of crawfish, and I said, "These are $2 a pound. Those crawfish, some of them look like they were a pound each."
Well, you know, I'm a big dude, and I've got pretty big hands, and I usually say, if a crawfish is... if the body is a good size of my thumb, these crawfish were 4 times the size of my thumb. These things are enormous.
Well, I demanded that they be tested for performance-enhancing drugs, PEDs, and they came out clean.
The lab reported nothing hinky going on there?
There will be no suspensions or anything like that, so good time. So on Friday, we finished the show at 10 a.m. like we normally do, and... before I left work, I noticed that there was a police shooting in New Orleans on Friday mornings, this past Friday morning. A little bit different, 'cause, you know, a shooting in New Orleans is no big deal. People get shot every day in the city. But when a New Orleans cop shoots someone, it's always a headline. And what's interesting is when I was just checking my Facebook feed, my social media feeds, and I have a few friends who are on the New Orleans Police Department. And one of my friends tweeted the story of a shooting in New Orleans East at an apartment complex, and he just simply wrote, "Seriously? Question mark." And the story went how a guy was shot and killed by the New Orleans police at the apartment complex where he lives in New Orleans East, and he was shot right outside the manager's office or right outside the office where you go and pay your bills or whatever the case may be. And then I saw a couple of posts from witnesses to the shooting, and one person said, this was either Twitter or it was some social media, but one person said, "I just watched the New Orleans police execute a poor black guy. I just watched, how many times am I going to have to watch police shoot innocent black men? And how many times am I going to..." Well, Then I went and I wanted to look at the story and find out, and then all the local news stations showed up over there, and it was the lead story on Friday night on the local news, which is the, when it comes to news, Friday is the, well, Friday or Saturday, the weakest news days of the week. But the story goes, the guy, again, who lived at this apartment complex, he went into the office at the apartment complex. He had a gun. He was not happy with the person working behind the desk. And then he left. That's when the person working behind the desk called the New Orleans police. And hey, this guy with a gun just walked in here. He's not happy. And he just walked out the door. Well, the New Orleans police showed up pretty soon. And right as they showed up, the guy with the gun was walking back into the office. And the New Orleans police, I guess, when they pulled up, their timing was perfect. When they pulled up, they saw the guy with the gun outside the door, and the guy did not get a chance to get back inside the office. And I, from what the New Orleans police said, from the press conference that they had, led by New Orleans Police Superintendent Sean Ferguson, he said the police got out of their cars, drew their guns, because they saw the guy with the gun going, we wanted to go back into the office, and they said, hey, freeze, drop your gun, and evidently the guy didn't listen. And the New Orleans police shot and killed him. The reason why I told the story is, isn't it incredible the different stories that I received in the ensuing minutes and in the ensuing time after that shooting? The first thing I saw, well, a New Orleans policeman who I know posted it on his social media, and he wrote seriously. And then I read the quote after reading the story. I read the one quote from somebody, a witness, who said they were tired of watching the New Orleans police shoot down innocent people, innocent life.
And was that person a friend of yours or just happened to?
No, I didn't know that person. Okay. I just saw
just a
quote.
Continuation of the thread.
But they always say that, you know, when a news story happens, there's three sides to every story. To me, from everything I saw and read in the reports, there was only one side to this story. And if the New Orleans police didn't show up so quick, we may have been talking about an innocent dead person today who worked behind the desk of that apartment complex in New Orleans East. So, again, much like the Trayvon Martin story, if Trayvon Martin didn't circle back and attack George Zimmerman, he'd be alive today. Trayvon Martin had already walked past George Zimmerman. He was already on his way home. But he stopped, made a 180, looked back, and didn't like the fact that the dude was staring at him and attacked him and was banging his head against the ground, killing George Zimmerman, when George Zimmerman, on his back, pulled out his gun and shot Trayvon Martin in self-defense and killed him. Yeah, people didn't want to believe that. They didn't want to believe that to the point where they had a trial against George Zimmerman. And and George Zimmerman was found not guilty of murder. I mean, it was self-defense. Even jurors in that trial said, we went in there wanting to convict George Zimmerman. If you remember the way the media treated him, that SOB. And then the story with outside of St. Louis there, the story in Ferguson, Missouri, with Michael Bennett. When he's dead laying in the street, CNN shows up. The first person they talk to is one of Michael Bennett's friends. And Michael Bennett's friend said, Michael Brown. Michael Brown, I'm thinking of the defensive player in the NFL. Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri. When he was shot laying in the middle of the street and CNN showed up, they asked one of Michael Brown's friends what happened. And Michael Brown's friend said, well, he was running away from police with his hands up, and the police shot him and killed him. And CNN ran with that story and stuck with that narrative. And then all of a sudden, people showed up and said, what the hell? That's not what happened. CNN didn't get the right story. Michael Brown was charging at a police officer, a Ferguson, Missouri police officer, after he stole something from a store, and the police officer pulled up next to him, got out of the car, First, he didn't get out of the car. Michael Brown, when the police officer approached him, walked back to the police officer, and the police officer's window was open in his car, and he punched him in the face. And then started taking off. And then the police officer told him to stop, and Michael Brown started charging the police officer, and the police officer was forced to shoot him and kill him. But the fact is that when CNN got there, they heard that first story. They ran with that first story, and that's why so many people got upset. How could you shoot someone running down the street, this 18-year-old kid, with his arms up? And that's not what happened. And then when the buildings burned down, the businesses, CNN should have been forced to pay to rebuild those buildings.
When there was the looting of the dollar store, which I still can't get over.
Yeah, how about that? But it goes to show you the narrative. When a story in both of those cases, it was a young black guy killed, and the country, they went nuts. They said, what's going on with these white guys? Well, in the case of George Zimmerman, he was called a white Hispanic, if you remember. Not just a Hispanic, a white Hispanic. The media has a narrative that we live in, still in the year 2017, that our country is racist, that white people just keep shooting innocent black people and killing them. This is the media's, this is their... Because most of them are political left-wingers, and this is what many of those folks think, that this country... Now, look, our country's not perfect. We're the greatest country in the world. It's hard to be perfect, impossible to be perfect. And yeah, some of our history is definitely not good. We're coming a long way, and hopefully you're not going to get anywhere overnight, but, boy, spreading false narratives like that. And I just thought about that when I saw that story Friday from the apartment complex in New Orleans East. The first thing I read was, what the hell? And then I saw the whole story. Thank God the New Orleans police got there in the nick of time when they did. All right. Coming up on the show, a couple of high school students in Louisiana were arrested recently for what they call the teacher's prank. We'll explain coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Global pork prices are on the rise because in China, there's a pig disease, a big outbreak of a pig disease. And China, they supply two-thirds of the world with their pork. And now, we should be all right over here in America. But the people around the world that eat the Chinese pork, I guess you could add that to the other cheap stuff that comes out of China. Now, this isn't really cheap because the prices are going up. But the fact is that the news out of Beijing is that at least a million pigs got this disease. Now, people can't die if they eat the disease, if they eat the diseased pigs. The pigs die. Because they have the disease,
right?
But the people won't die. The pigs just won't taste good. But because of this, the price of pigs around from coming out of China that goes to two-thirds of the globe.
I was going to say, would you please get to the punchline? I don't think there is one.
Well, no. Well,
you're taking the setup is too long here. Let's go.
Well, on top of that,
yes.
China's economy is slowing down, Brewster.
How much is it slowing down?
As a result, the Chinese unemployment rate has risen to a record high 12% among six-year-olds.
There you go.
All right, coming up next, our mayor, Latuita Cantrell, wants to make the French market more like the Pike Market over there in Seattle, the Pike Place. You know where they throw the fish?
We'll find out about that.
Yeah, she made an announcement. Well, we'll talk about that coming up on Bayou 95.7.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So the French market in the French Quarter, it's safe to say that is a tourist trap. Is it safe to say that? Because before Moon...
It gives it a negative connotation that I don't necessarily think that it warrants.
Well, here's why I'm saying that. Because before Moon Landrieu was president, I'm not talking... Mayor. I'm not talking about Half Moon Landrieu, Mitch, his son. I'm talking about Full Moon Landrieu back around 1970. Because when he became mayor, he's the one that they say turned it into a tourist trap.
Okay.
Before that, that's where locals, because a lot more people used to live in a French Quarter than live there now. Now they figure, about 4,000 people live in the French Quarter. 25,000, 30,000 people used to live in the French Quarter. And then when the immigrants came here at the turn, way before Moon Landrieu, when they came here and they packed into the French Quarter. But that used to be a place where the locals would go and get their produce, their vegetables. That's the place where they would. And then all of a sudden, Moon Landrieu became mayor, 1969, 1970, and he said, here we go. We're gonna make this more of a tourist destination, and it's been that way ever since. Now, Café du Monde is in there, and they sell a bunch of stuff in the French market. But I think it's safe to say that more tourists go there than locals.
Yes, I hesitate to use the term trap because we certainly don't want the influx of dollars to go away. From that area.
Oh, it's a cool place.
Right. And if you say trap, then you're thinking, well, but I get what you're saying.
But our mayor, LaToya Cantrell, who I call LaTweeta because she loves to tweet. She's always on Twitter. She says she wants to kind of make it more of a locals place again. And she wants to, the French market, to be like Seattle's Pike Place Market. Now, that's the place where whenever you're watching a game come out of Seattle, much like whenever you're watching a football game on national television, Monday night, Sunday night, come out of New Orleans, they always show Café du Monde.
Right. Sunday night football, and they show High Noon in the French Quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's the same in Seattle.
Same stock footage. Right.
It's the same in Seattle with the Pike Place Market. That's where the people throw the fish. That's the only thing I know about that place.
Yeah, I haven't been there, so.
Neither have I. I haven't been there either. But LaTweeta, our history-making mayor, she wants the French market to, be more like Pike Place Market in Seattle. She sent some people from a delegation out there to go ask them questions and talk about that place. What she wants is she wants a couple of things. She thinks the city could be getting more revenue from the French market. And she would like to see more locals use the French market the way they used to back in the day. Here's the problem with the second part of that. There is nowhere to park for locals. If she wants people to come in from different parts of New Orleans, from maybe the West Bank, come over the bridge, maybe Metairie, if she wants people to come in and locals to come in and use the French market the way it used to be used for fresh produce and things like that.
Right.
She's got to magically create parking spaces.
Right. I'm not going to come from Old Metairie, pay $20 or more to park in Jack's Brewery lot and walk down to shop at the French market. Sorry.
You know, whenever I'm around there, I always think, Brewster, about how it used to be around the turn of the century there. And I mean, you could go back even before that, but. You know, I think about when all of the immigrants came, when all the Italian immigrants came, and they lived not only in the French Quarter, but pretty much one part of the French Quarter. And I just think, I just remember what...
You're talking like you were alive then.
Well, but I just think, and I close my eyes, I love history, and I just wonder...
You close your eyes and see what? You weren't born then.
I see a bunch of Italian people running under the French market to go get bread and lettuce.
There's no way you could see that when you close your eyes. You weren't alive then. But
no,
go ahead.
I have an imagination.
Yes, you do.
But I understand what LaTweeta is trying to do here. But I don't see locals using the French market in the French Quarter the way it is right now. And I don't, if you look around there, there's no way to create 500 parking spaces or however many you would need. Like, I don't know what the parking situation is around Pike Place in Seattle. I don't know, because all I see is fish flying through the air. But I found it interesting how she sent a delegate to Seattle to go research on that place.
I'm sure it's her heart is in the right place on this, but I've never been to Seattle, so I don't know the situation there. When we go to the French Quarter, sure, we might take a walk through the French Market, depending on how hot the sun is, just to get out of the sunshine, get into some shade. I would think that you would try to maximize all of the dollars and the foot traffic that is coming through by way of tourists visiting. Make it so there's no way they could possibly pass that up, because I know some do.
She says, quote, right now, when you think about French Market, we're not getting our fair share based on what's coming back to the city. And these are assets we control, LaTuita Cantrell said. And she finished by saying, quote, I see Pike Place in Seattle for us to be able to replicate here, where we are really generating revenue, but playing to the strengths of our culture bearers, where they see themselves tapping into these millions of visitors. Because let's face the fact, that's how many people, millions of people go through there every year. And is the city of New Orleans getting everything it can? And not just the city, are the residents of New Orleans getting everything they possibly can out of there? I thought it was interesting when I saw that story going around over the weekend. There are some people that said, don't touch it, leave it the way it is. It's fine the way it is. It's our culture. Yeah, well, you stick with our culture, but if there's anything more you can do to tweak it, or that would, whether bring in more revenue for the city of New Orleans or make it more friendly for the locals who live around here. I'm all for it, but for a place, the French Market, that used to, that's where people got their food. The boats with the fresh stuff would come right off the river. They'd throw it over their shoulders, right over there to the French Market, and then people would come running in, get all their food. Now you think about French Market, people get their T-shirts and their sunglasses, and, you know, go get a Café Du Monde and
get a big an alligator head, right?
Yeah, I think that's interesting. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So a couple of high school juniors from Eunice, Louisiana, they tried a high school prank on their teacher, and they video recorded it, and it got them arrested, which it should have. What they did was they poured a chemical into one of their teacher's drink, and then they filmed it on the social media site Snapchat. Two 17-year-old Eunice High School juniors were arrested on Friday. Felony, too. That's hardcore. That's serious stuff. They called it a prank, but they mingling harmful substances. What they did was they mixed crud cutter, an all-purpose cleaning solution, into the teacher's cup last Wednesday when she stepped out to get supplies. The girl...
That's crud cutter with two K's, by the way.
That's right. The girl is the one who put the crud cutter in her drink, and then the boy is the one who recorded it. Although I think that's right, because you know the new filters they have on Snapchat? They can make boys look like girls and girls look like boys, but I think they got it right here. The teacher returned to the classroom. She did sip the drink, but she threw it away immediately. And people could see that on the video recording because they were still recording her. They wanted to maybe see if she stood up and died.
And because the drink was foaming when she threw it.
So she was able to taste it. But
crud cutter is made by Rust-Oleum, by the way, if that gives you any indication.
Works on crud, not on teachers. Coming up next, we'll look at today in history. We call the segment, Why Today Doesn't Suck. Suck is next on Bayou 95.7.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. Let's look at today in history. And on this radio show, we call the segment
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
May 20th. It was today in 1996.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Big Supreme Court ruling. They defended the rights of gays and lesbians in a case called Romer versus Evans. If you're wondering why we have hate crimes now against people because of their sexuality, things like that, it all started today because of the Supreme Court ruling today in 1996. It was a case out of Colorado, and the Supreme Court ruled 6-3, saying that, look, you can't be beating people up, harassing people just because of their sexuality. Now since that, it's like that in every state in America. That's why they call hate crimes and things like that. And so the big protection for gays and lesbians in that regard started today in 1996 with that Supreme Court ruling. May 20th. It was today in 1927.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Charles Lindbergh took off across the Atlantic Ocean in his airplane, the Spirit of St. Louis, and he made it all the way over to Europe. And that was the first time a human being flew in an airplane from the United States to Europe.
Well, successfully, anyway.
Yeah, they have tried before. So Charles Lindbergh, he was a hero in that regard. But as you know, we've talked about him on the show before. He
was not down with the Jewish faith.
No, he was
people therein.
He was basically an American Nazi. And it kind of sucks that the first guy in America who flew successfully an airplane across the Atlantic Ocean turns out to be a Nazi. I mean, geez, out of all the people, who figure? May 20th. It was today in 1969.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
One of the most, if not the most famous battles in the Vietnam War ended after 10 grueling days. Hamburger Hill ended after 10 grueling days. And there's a movie that's called Hamburger Hill, and they interviewed a lot of Vietnam veterans, and the Vietnam veterans agreed that was the most realistic.
I've heard that.
That was the most realistic movie when it came, because they kept going up this hill, and every time, Brewster, they tried getting there, they would get close to the top.
I've heard that's the most realistic Vietnam War film.
Yeah, that our planes would come over, friendly fire, and they didn't know what was going on. The communication wasn't that good.
I've not seen that movie. That's one of the it's one of the few Vietnam era films I haven't seen.
And then Senator Edward Kennedy at the time from Massachusetts, he blasted publicly the way we went about handling that particular battle, Hamburger Hill, and people said, "Really, Ted?" So that's that.
May 20th today is National Rescue Dog Day. If you're someone who does that, you're doing the Lord's work, and thank you for that. Always say, don't go to a shop or whatever and buy an animal. Try to find a local shelter organization and help rescue an animal.
And they'll really love you because they have an idea what's going on.
Yes, they do. Today is also National Be a Millionaire Day. That's on my... you talk about a short list. It's the only thing on my short list. Happy birthday today. Born this date, May 20th. A guy I followed quite a while, former IndyCar driver, former NASCAR driver, three-time NASCAR champion, Tony Stewart, turns 48 today. Hey, I know you're a big fan, Busta Rhymes. Take a guess on how old Busta Rhymes is.
Busta Rhymes is 58.
Lower.
54.
Lower.
50.
Lower.
Are you kidding me?
Well, I'm just telling you what it says.
47.
Lower.
45.
Higher.
46.
Bingo. Busta Rhymes is 46 today.
I don't want to say Busta Rhymes is getting old,
but
he's got a new tour out. And he's changing his name. He's calling himself Busta Hip.
You know, I hear that Hamburger Hill is regarded as the most realistic of the Vietnam War films. And a birthday today, Cher, or at least most of her, is 73. Many parts of Cher, 73 today. It was on this date, May 20th, 1998.
Why today doesn't suck.
This could be any month of any year. Motley Crue drummer Tommy Lee sentenced to 6 months in jail after being found guilty of spousal abuse. You could just check days off the calendar, just like in the old movies when they would turn the calendar, pages of the calendar. Tommy Lee, spousal abuse. Well, Tommy Lee, spousal abuse.
That particular incident, correct me if I'm wrong, that was the one where I think where he kicked Pamela Anderson.
Well, then again, can you be more specific as far as a month and day and year? On this date, May 20th, 1993.
Why today doesn't suck.
Aerosmith filmed the video for their single Crying at the Central Congregational Church in Fall River, Massachusetts, where Lizzie Borden used to worship. I did not know that. I think wasn't Alicia Silverstone in that video as well? There was a spate of Aerosmith videos that featured Alicia Silverstone. Is that her name?
Alicia. Or Alicia.
Why can't I say that?
Well, I'm not exactly sure if that's the one. The one you're thinking about is the one everybody went crazy about when she starred in that video with Liv Tyler, Steven Tyler's daughter.
Where they're going to, like fall over the overpass or whatever
looked like they were jumping off the bridge, but they had a bungee cord on
her. I'm pretty sure she was in another one too, and I think it's Crying, but we'll look that up because you know I demand excellence. It was on this date, May 20th, 1989.
Why today doesn't suck.
Could it be already 30 years that Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers were the musical guests on the season finale of Saturday Night Live? They performed Running Down a Dream and Free Falling. And on this date, this is a wild one, May 20th, 1966.
Why today doesn't suck.
During a Who concert in Windsor in the UK, Pete Townsend and Roger Daltrey performed with the opening act's rhythm section. In other words, the opening act played, and then, ladies and gentlemen, the Who. And they had to have the drummer and the bass player from whoever the name is lost to antiquity, apparently, because John Entwistle and Keith Moon arrived late for the concert. When they got there, the Who set was already halfway over. Townsend hit Moon over the head with his guitar. They quit. They, being Entwistle and Moon, quit the band but came back a week later. Can you imagine if the Who had ended right there in 1966?
Well, it's funny how they called the rhythm section that day, Whoever.
Whoever, because, yeah, that's right. And one more here. I don't recall this happening. Very interesting, though. So, May 20th, 1971.
Why today doesn't suck.
On the day of Tony Stewart's birth, Chicago bassist and vocalist and songwriter Peter Cetera had to undergo 5 hours of emergency surgery after he lost 4 teeth in a fight at a Cubs game in Wrigley Field. Due to some Cubs fans, we don't take a guess as to why the Cubs fans... why he got in a fight with Cubs fans?
They didn't like the fact that he was writing slower songs.
Music. No, it's not. You know, it's not that. They objected to his long hair. Uneasy Rider all over again. He took his hat off and all that long hair fell down.
That's pretty.
And he got 4 teeth knocked out.
Pretty shameful in Chicago.
In Chicago,
the singer of the band Chicago gets his teeth knocked out because he had long hair.
You can see that happening in Philly where the fans are, that happens pretty much any game, yeah. That's all I have here.
Got a couple more. May 20th. It was today in 2013.
Why today doesn't suck.
Ray Manzarek of The Doors died. The keyboard player from The Doors. And not just a keyboard player, but when they played live, he would play the keyboard with one hand, his right hand, and he would play the bass guitar with his left hand on the keyboard. They never had a bass player. Right at the end when they were recording L.A. Woman, and they finished that, Jim Morrison went to Paris, France. Mm-hmm. They brought in a bass player to actually play, and that's one of the things they told him. Hey, Jim, come back. We actually got a bass player this time around. May 20th, and of course we know Jim never came back.
No, he went to Paris and stayed there.
And finally, it was today in 1995.
Why today doesn't suck.
Don Henley got married. One of the leaders of the Eagles married model Sharon Summerall. And the wedding guests were something else. It was a who's who of rock and roll. Yeah, Billy Joel, Sheryl Crow, Sting, Jackson Browne, New Orleans' own Randy Newman, Bruce Springsteen was there. I wonder if, like, at the reception, if anybody wanted to, hey, who wants to jam with the band? I wonder if anybody said, no, you go. Right. No, you play.
Or have sex with Joni Mitchell. Mm, or Stevie Nicks.
That too. Mm.
And it's a segment that we call
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
All right. Coming up on the show, Donald Trump made an announcement about Alabama's abortion laws, the really strict abortion laws.
I'm going to predict this didn't go well.
Well, we'll explain. On Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So Game of Thrones came to an end last night, one of the more popular television shows in recent history. And I've mentioned Brewster and I. I tried watching it. I couldn't get into it.
You've got farther along than I have. I've never seen it. And I'm sorry, I say that without prejudice.
Yeah, I have friends who watched it, and some of them, I'm trying to figure out by checking out social media if more people hated it than liked it when it came to my Facebook friends. I know some of my social media friends liked it, but then a lot more weren't satisfied. And again, when you have a very popular television show, it's always difficult for the last episode to live up to everything else. I mean, I think of The Sopranos. And the thing that was so upsetting about The Sopranos, when it just went to black, nobody knows what happened. I think of Seinfeld. I enjoyed the final Seinfeld. I know it's hard for one episode to kind of live up to 9 years of funny television shows, but I enjoyed that one. I enjoyed the final episode of Breaking Bad.
This is your Game of Thrones series finale recap?
Well, no.
Not really. You didn't watch it. Oh, okay.
Well, again, I like the Breaking Bad finale as well, but I'm trying. I noticed I saw Kat. She loves the Game of Thrones. Everything was Game of Thrones. She put a video of somebody on the.
See again, you're showing yourself here. It's not the Game of Thrones. It's just Game of Thrones, right?
She put a video on the Bayou Facebook page of someone breaking their big screen television set as soon as. The finale of Game of Thrones was over. Right. And one other thing I saw.
They started a petition to have it rewritten because they didn't like the way it ended.
Yeah, some people weren't happy with that. And then I saw, remember a few weeks ago, they left a coffee cup on the table while they were filming?
Starbucks cup.
Well, last night there was two water bottles that were underneath chairs that people saw.
Hmm.
Because I don't know if during Game of Thrones if they had water bottles like they didn't have coffee cups. And I started thinking about where stuff like that happened before. In the movie Gladiator, in one of the chase scenes, there's a chariot chasing people. The thing flipped over and you could see a motorized something underneath it.
Right.
And people paused it there and they circled. They said, hey, they didn't have that technology when gladiators were running around. So, anyways, it was the last Game of Thrones last night. I saw that some people liked it, and I saw that other people didn't like it. And can a final episode ever really live up to years of a great television show?
This has been the finale of the Game of Thrones, the Game of Witch on Austin, whatever.
Now people can get back to their lives.
Yes.
All right, coming up next, I got to tell you, Donald Trump, he commented on the very restrictive Alabama abortion law that was just signed into law last week, and we'll tell you about it coming up next. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock Led Zeppelin there. Ah, Zeppelin! Beep, beep. The John Osterlin Morning Show brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. I'll tell you, clickbait is it's so frustrating and it's so obvious. Whether you're on a news website, whether you're on social media, whether you're wherever, and you see clickbait, and I think a lot of people now realize what it is and they don't fall for it. I'm going to give you a perfect example. Right now, on my computer screen, I'm on a news website, and I'm looking over on the right-hand side, and there's a picture of Sean Connery walking down the street, you know, the 88-year-old actor, Sean Connery. Walking down the street, and he's walking with some smaller bald guy. And it says, next to that picture, at 88, Sean Connery and his partner are still together.
Yeah.
Really? You want me to click on that? And I know that little bald guy who's walking down the street with Sean Connery is not the partner that he's been with for many, many, many years.
I believe that picture is a typo.
It's clickbait. Sean Connery's happily married to a woman, from all I could tell. But see, it's things like that that drive people crazy.
Suck it, Trebek.
So last week on the show, we talked about the southern states who were adjusting their abortion laws, making them tougher. And as a matter of fact, Louisiana, we haven't officially done it yet, but look for that to happen soon in our state legislature. As our lawmakers, they look like they're going to do what they did in the state of Georgia with the heartbeat, the abortion heartbeat law, meaning once the baby's heartbeat starts, and that's about 7 weeks in, right? You can't get an abortion anymore after that, and the pro-choicers are going crazy over that. Alabama, though, out of all of the southern states who are adjusting their abortion laws, Alabama has the toughest one. They signed into law late last week, basically a law that outlaws abortions in the whole state, even in the case of rape and incest. And when we talked about this last week, I mentioned the only reason I'm talking about this is because it's these states changing their abortion laws. They're making national headlines. They're the lead national headlines all over the place. I don't like talking about abortion because you'll never change anyone's mind. I don't like abortion. I'm no fan of it. But when I saw the Alabama law, and I said, really, rape and incest too? That's kind of rough, isn't it? I mean, now you're going to make a woman relive the worst day of her life, day in and day out, night in and night out, for 9 months? And somebody texted us, by the way, after we talked about that and said, well, they could give her the morning after pill. Okay. Remember we talked a little bit about it, and like I said, it's not something fun to talk about on the radio because you're never, ever, ever going to change someone's mind. I mean, you either firmly believe that abortion is women's reproductive health, that it's up to the woman and the woman only, or you're on the other side of that argument and you believe that abortion is killing babies. Well, Donald Trump over the weekend tweeted about the new Alabama abortion laws. And this is what he said. Quote, as most people know, and for those who would like to know, I am strongly pro-life, with three exceptions: rape, incest, and protecting the life of the mother. The same position taken by Ronald Reagan. We have come very far in the last 2 years. Let me get the rest of this tweet. You know, there used to be a character limitation. We have come very far in the last 2 years with 105 wonderful new ... And then he goes on. He's got another tweet. Which I'm not going to read, but he's not for the Alabama law. He again, as someone who is pro-life, which he is, he just gave you the three exceptions: rape, incest, and protecting the life of the mother. And that's the only thing I said last week when we were talking about this. Like I said, I don't like abortion, but the way I look at it, when we were talking about the Alabama law, it's kind of like, wow, if a woman was raped, and is it going to make her? So, and if you're wondering why all of these southern states now, and again, Louisiana, they're going to make news this week. They're going to do the same thing Georgia did, it looks like, with the heartbeat law. If you're wondering why now all of these southern states are doing this with abortion laws, it's because they want to get these laws challenged so it gets to the Supreme Court. And now that the Supreme Court is majority conservative, the pro-life folks are thinking a challenge could perhaps overturn Roe v. Wade, which is the national abortion law. So that's why this is happening right now. It's not something that's easy to talk about. It's not something that's fun to talk about. But the president did weigh in over the weekend, and he let you know how he felt. Coming up on the show, did you see the billionaire college commencement speaker, what he did to surprise everyone during his commencement speech over the weekend? We'll explain coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. The daughter of Poison frontman Bret Michaels is making headlines. Her name is Rain, and she's one of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit models. She's very, very, very attractive. I don't know if it's Rain Michaels, if that's her name, or if it's Rain Sychak, because that's his real last name. I think it's Rain Michaels. But, that's funny. That's God telling Bret Michaels, well, you see, I mean, you look at, you're probably talking about thousands and thousands of women Bret Michaels has done sex with. He's still doing it. I know he had that reality show right up till recently, where a bunch of skanks show up at his house, and then one of them tries to win something.
Right, that was on the Hep C channel, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
But his daughter's something else.
Yes, she is. You and I rarely agree, but yes, I just pulled her up, and yes, absolutely, no question.
There you go.
And they are spectacular.
So a lot of colleges are graduating this time of year, and the commencement speakers. You see who just spoke at Tulane for their commencement?
No.
The CEO of Apple, Tim Cook. Now, that's a good get.
Or as the president referred to him, Tim Apple.
Yeah. Well, at the predominantly black university, black college, Morehouse College, they had a billionaire named Robert F. Smith. He happened to speak, an extremely successful guy, not just a successful black guy. He's one of the richest guys in our country, Robert F. Smith. And while he was addressing the nearly 400 graduating students at Morehouse College, there was something he said in that commencement speech that really got the...
really resonated with the class.
Yeah, students' attention.
On behalf of the 8 generations of my family who have been in this country, we're going to put a little fuel in your bus. Now, I've got the alumni over there, and this is a challenge to you, alumni. This is my class, 2019. And my family is making a grant to eliminate their student loans.
They're chanting MVP.
Well, he is.
I guess so.
And again, that's billionaire Robert F. Smith. He made his money investing, a technology investor, and he knew what to invest in. And if you do the math, that's going to, if he pays for all of the student loans, like he said he was going to.
Right, for class, 400 students.
For the class of 2019, they estimated this at around $40 million. And for him, that's, he might carry that in his sock. I mean, when you're a multi-billionaire.
Yeah, I think he had it on him that day.
Yeah, if you could just, well, hey, hold on, who's got a little bag? Bring it over here. Pretty nice thing to do, though, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's what a bunch of the Democrats who want to beat Donald Trump in the 2020 presidential election, that's one of the things they're running on. They want to erase all student loan. And what does that tell?
But the only problem with Bernie Sanders and AOC and those who would get rid of all student
Chief
debts,
Warren,
they don't have a billionaire in their back pocket like a Robert F. Smith to write the check. They just want it to just disappear. I'm telling you that AOC, if she could, the next thing out of her mouth is going to be, I got it. We just print more money. We'll just print more money. And then everybody has more money.
Mm.
I'm surprised she hasn't said that.
So great job by Robert F. Smith, the commencement speaker, the multi-billionaire who spoke over the weekend at Morehouse College, and about 400 students are very, very happy that he's the one who spoke.
Morehouse is in Atlanta?
Is that where it is?
I think so.
Well,
yeah, we don't like Atlanta.
You know, when I see
Boo, guys, Atlanta.
You know, when I see guys that have made that much money just investing, I always think about, where did I go wrong? I mean, I had the same opportunity. I could have, if I knew more about the investment game, if I knew this or I knew that, instead, that day I'd rather go out and drink beer and watch a ball game.
Well, exactly. It's what the great Robert Klein, stand-up comedian, said. I wanted to be a doctor, but a few things got in my way. Reading, biology, chemistry, attendance.
Coming up next, you are not going to believe what this police officer just got arrested for. You're not going to believe it. That's next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. I saw this story, and this is something that you see in a movie. This is something that you see on a television show. It's not something you'd expect in real life. A New York City police officer has been arrested in a murder-for-hire plot. She's attractive, too. Her name is Valerie Cincinelli. And what she did was, she gave her boyfriend $7,000 to hire a hitman to kill her estranged husband and her estranged husband's daughter. And an awful plot. And on Friday, she got arrested. Like I said, she's easy on the eyes. She's a looker. New York police officer Valerie Cincinelli. And this went so far because what happened was, once she told her boyfriend that she wanted to do this, hey, here's $7,000. Either you kill my husband and his daughter, teenage girl, for God's sake. Either you kill them with this $7,000 or find someone who will do it. And the guy was so guilt-ridden, even though he really loved this woman, he went to the cops. And he said, you're not going to believe this. But the NYPD officer who I'm dating just gave me $7,000 to kill her husband and her husband's daughter. So then after that, what they did was they put a wire on him, and he went back, and she said so many things, like, why haven't you done this yet, and blah, 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 and all the evidence is right there. And people couldn't believe what they were hearing. Again, this is a police officer. This isn't a television show. This isn't a movie. We've seen like things like this before there. But this 34-year-old mother of two, she hatched the scheme a few months ago in February. And that's when the boyfriend went to the FBI. And then besides having him wear a wire so they could get her saying things that would implicate her, which they did. They also recorded phone calls he had with her, and they couldn't believe any of this. I mean, it's one thing going through a rough divorce or whatever the case may be, But when you say you also want your husband's teenage daughter killed too, because, quote, she's been getting in the way of things. A, what kind of human being is this? Awful. But B, this woman is a police officer. And she's good looking too. And some of the things they had her saying on tape, on the wire, or on the phone conversations. Quote, did you do it yet? And then one of the things she also said was, go to a bad neighborhood. Go to, quote, the hood. Or go to, quote, the ghetto. So it would not look suspicious. You know, don't kill him in front of his own house. Or make sure you do it in a bad neighborhood. So it just won't, it won't look suspicious. And they actually... they did something that you've also seen in TV shows and in movies. They called the estranged husband and they said, look, your wife is trying to have you and your daughter killed. We need you to do something. Come here and pose for a picture for us. And they put, like, it looked like a bullet in his head. They put makeup on his head. They had him lay down in the dirt and they took his picture. And so then her boyfriend could go back to her and say, yep, here it is. It's a done deal. Look at this. And when actually they had the actual New York cops go back to her front door late last week, knocked on her door. They had the picture and they said, is this your husband, ma'am? And then she started crying. It was fake crocodile tears. Showed her the picture of what appeared to be her dead husband, who she wanted killed. They left and then they came back like an hour or two later and they said, you are under arrest for trying to set up the murder of your husband and her daughter. That picture was a fake picture he posed for us. And she'll be going to jail for a long time. But, you know, there are some things that you think you'll only see on the big screen or the small screen. But they get their ideas from what happens in real life. You never would ever think a sitting police officer would do something like that. And boy, and when the boyfriend, after he was wearing the wire, when he said, you know, how do you want me to do this? Run her the bleep over, the daughter. But just do it, make sure you do it in the ghetto. Or do it in a bad neighborhood. And, you know, I guess in any group of people, there's good and bad. And when it comes to cops, yeah, most cops, they do the right thing. You would assume, you would think that they live life the way they're supposed to. But in any group of teachers, you know, whether it's school teachers, ones who are doing sex with their students, whether it's police officers, here's one that got caught in a murder for hire plot. Just some things that you can't believe when you're reading this stuff. And they don't really know the motive. I mean, she could have gotten a divorce and hooked up with her new boyfriend anyways. But she wanted not only her estranged husband, but his daughter dead. So she is no longer a police officer. Coming up on the show, we're going to tell you, hey, we got a Florida man story today, but he's not in the wrong. His house is being foreclosed on, and there are people that are standing up for him, fighting for him, saying, this is wrong, they shouldn't foreclose on this guy. We'll explain why and what's going on there. Coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Over the weekend, it was the second of golf's four majors, as the PGA tournament. Usually it's at the end of the year, but they moved it up. They don't want to compete with football, so they moved it to May, and it was it looked like it was going to be anticlimactic, because for 3.5 rounds, it wasn't even a golf match. This guy Brooks Koepka, who's been winning majors like crazy lately, he was up
He was up. He actually had a, and he was up by a lot most of the three days.
He was like up 8 or 9 strokes for the most part yesterday.
And the final round yesterday, on the he makes the turn on the 10th hole. He's got a 7-stroke lead, and then he bogeyed 4 holes in a row. The lead was down to 1 over Dustin Johnson. He was the only other guy, 2 Americans, which was cool. But then Dustin Johnson goes and bogeys 2 out of the last 3 holes, and Brooks Koepka hangs on to win. And I think that's the 3rd major he's won in the last year and a half. And he's something else right now. He's now the number 1 golfer in the world. And what was interesting about that over the weekend, what went viral is the guy who won here, John Rahm, in the doubles tournament, John Rahm, who won the Zurich, he made headlines over the weekend because when the camera was showing Brooks Koepka, it showed John Rahm walk behind him into the woods and start going to the bathroom. And so
for
some of the weekend, that was the most exciting thing that came out of the PGA tournament because Brooks Koepka was winning by so much most of the tournament.
Well, I was going to mention how it's, I believe it's the last municipal course that they still do an official sanctioned tournament on. Is that correct? I believe that's correct. But anyway.
It's a public course.
Public course. And that's kind of anticlimactic now that you said that, because I was going to rail about how I often do just the total lack of decorum in the gallery. You couldn't even call it a gallery. I mean, they're hooting and hollering. When Koepka started to tank, they're chanting DJ at him for Dustin Johnson.
Yeah.
And it's just a 2-foot putt. They're yelling, "Get in the hole!" It's like, come on.
Well, 2 things about that. A, they let anybody on a public course. And B, it's a New Yorkers.
Obviously, right.
It's New Yorkers. What do you expect? So, but that was something. And everybody talked about Tiger Woods after winning the Masters, how he was favored to win the PGA this past weekend, but he didn't make the cut. He got cut on Friday. He missed the cut by 1 stroke. That's some game. And now Brooks Koepka is the best golfer in the world.
Also former winner of the Zurich Classic.
How about that? Well, all right, coming up on the show, I got to get to the reason why they are foreclosing on this Florida man's house. And it's not because he was acting like every other Florida man we talk about. Wait till you hear this coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, Anne Lamarck Ford. She's getting married. The actress Scarlett Johansson is engaged to the guy that does the Weekend Update on Saturday Night Live, Colin Jost. Lucky guy. She's real hot. Although I don't know what she's like. I don't know what her mind is like. She could be an insane lunatic. I don't know. But boy, just easy on the eyes. And I guess they've been dating for a while and they made it official over the weekend. And it wasn't on SNL. Scarlett Johansson is engaged to Colin Jost. Look, I don't want to say I thought she could have done better, but I wish those two well. So, news out of Florida. Now, this is a Florida man, but it's not your typical Florida man story that you see on social media. We like to tell you about here on the radio show. This homeowner in Florida is being told by the local government that they're going to foreclose on his home. Now, look, this isn't anything to do with homeowners associations. I think we're all very, or many of us are very aware of homeowners association. When you buy a home that's already in a homeowners association and they have a homeowners association, they tell you there are rules if you want to live here. A lot of times you can't put things on your door. You can't put things on your yard. You have to make sure this is that way and that is this way. But you knew that when you bought a home that's a part of a homeowners association. I told you when I lived in Miami Beach for 5 years, I had a condo on the beach, but they had rules in the condo. And I would find out about them because I never read the really thick book that they gave me when I bought the place.
Why am I not surprised by that?
Yeah, I just love
you know, time for a lot of reading. And
well, one day, Brewster, I'm sitting by the
pool. Well, you moved to the beach, so you don't have to do any reading.
Exactly. See, now you're thinking.
No, that's...
So how it was...
That was not a compliment, by the way.
I had my building, and then behind the building was the pool, and then you open the fence, and you were on the beach.
Where was the barbecue joint that you burned to the ground? Where was that in proximity?
About 6 blocks up the street. Uh-huh. That building's still standing.
So, smoldering, you said.
So one day, I'm just sitting by the pool... And a couple of old people came up to me and they're like, "Hey, where's your flip flops?" I said, "I don't know. They're underneath the chair over there." I was running around the pool area. They're like, "Look, you can't walk around the pool without your flip flops."
Right.
And then I started thinking, really? And hey, it's in your, I don't know how many 100-page manual it was. Okay, I'll put the flip flops on. Then it all came back to me. Everything Jerry Seinfeld always said about how old people, they move to Florida and they live to not only make those rules, but then to enforce those rules. That's what they live for. I found out pretty quickly when I was living in Miami Beach. But anyways, that was a homeowner's situation.
I thought that was the story.
No, not yet.
Oh.
That was a homeowner's association situation. And there's people around here. I've seen homeowner's association stories on the North Shore and in different places where people said, "Huh? What happened?" Well, look, if you buy a house, it's part of a homeowner's association. You should know. Fast forward to what happened to this guy in Florida over the last couple of days. And the town is it Dunedin or Dunedin? D-U-N?
I think it's Dunedin.
Dunedin.
Dunedin, Florida.
There you go. He's been fined, a homeowner there has been fined $30,000, which he doesn't have, and now they're saying they're going to foreclose on his home. Why? Because he had to go take care of his parents' estate in South Carolina, and the person that usually cut his grass died. Well, it is Florida. And so his grass didn't get cut for a few months. And when he came back from dealing with what he had to deal with, his parents' estate in South Carolina, he had $30,000 worth of fines that he had to pay, and or... they were going to foreclose on his home. His name is Jim Ficken.
Can you spell that?
F-I-C-K-E-N. And he returned home to his Florida home to find the grass in his yard grew more than 10 inches tall. And again, he was up in South Carolina helping take care of his dead mother's estate. And he usually had a guy who mowed the lawn, but that guy unexpectedly died, probably in a Florida man story. So the city code enforcement of Dunedin, Florida.
Dunedin.
Dunedin. The city code enforcement officers in that town noticed the lawn and started fining Mr. Ficken $500 a day. But he's still up in South Carolina while they were doing that, dealing with his dead mother's estate. And the fines mounted to about $30,000. And then the city of Dunedin notified Mr. Ficken saying that, "Look, pal, hey, you got about $30,000 worth of fines." And he said, "Well, I can't pay him. I don't have that kind of money." And, "Well, we're going to foreclose on your home." Do you think that that's right? I mean, it did go a long time. And I know he's dealing with his dead mother's estate in South Carolina, and I know he had a guy who usually cut his grass at his home, but the guy died, and he didn't know about it. And so if you don't hear anything about that, and nobody called him to tell him, "Hey, pal, your grass is really high right now, and the city's coming, and they're sticking all of these stickers on your front door."
Sticking it!
Yeah, we're sticking it to him. That's exactly what they were doing. And so now he's fighting this in the Pinellas County courthouse. I mean, is this something that the guy should be given a break? Or should he have realized that, yeah, he was out of town, and yeah, the guy he usually has cut his grass died.
He says nobody called him. His neighbors didn't call him. He didn't find out about anything until he got back to the Garden of Dunedin, Florida. You think they should take this guy's house? I don't. And the story I'm reading, and they're showing the letters that they kept sending the guy. But again, he wasn't. And Brewster, I know you're a stickler for rules. But the guy was tending.
As defined by you, following rules as being a stickler for rules.
Well,
it's black and white. There are rules.
Then, according to you,
either
this guy,
follow them or break them.
This guy,
he's got to make arrangements if he's going to be out of town. Right. Assuming that he read the 9 billion page HOA, which you're supposed to do, by the way, because there are rules for such things.
At first, when he got the $30,000 worth of fines, he said, I don't have this kind of money. This will take 5 years off of my life. I mean, this is, I could live $30,000. I could live for about 5 years on this. That's 5 or 6 years of living expenses to me. So they're trying to cut my life short. And then he said, because in the courtroom, they're continuing this. In the
Good.
The court of law said they're going to continue with the foreclosure.
Good.
Well, that's you. It's a black and white world.
Is his signature on the HOA? Did he receive the book or whatever it is? Did he sign it?
I don't think there is a homeowners association. That's the thing.
Well, then that's
a
problem.
It was just a city ordinance. That's why when I started talking about it, I said, this isn't like a normal home. This is
I'm
just
sorry.
A,
I wasn't listening that long ago.
This is a city ordinance, but they have city rules too, man. And he says, quote, after his latest court hearing last week, if they continue to foreclose on his home, which they said they're going to do, quote, if they go ahead and foreclose on me, I can't come up with the money to pay for it, and I'll just be booted out of the house. And I'll have to find another place to live, unquote.
Gee, I wonder if he could find a lawyer in all of Florida.
Well, he was dealing with his dead mother's estate for a long time in South Carolina. You'd think there'd probably be a few bucks up there. I don't know the exact deal he has, but it looks like this guy is going to lose his house because he was away from his home in Florida for a while, and the guy who usually cut his grass died unexpectedly, and his grass grew too tall, and now they're taking his house from him.
Well, I'm sure it won't come to that. I'm sure sure those kids will work this out.
I wish I was as black and white as you, Brewster. That's easy. That's the problem.
It's easy. Eliminate all chaos from your life.
It's a problem in my life. I live in too much gray area. Too much gray area.
I got held up and I didn't call 911 because they're too busy.
There's too much gray area.
Yes.
That's what it is.
After 10 years, you finally figure that out.
Here on Bayou 95.7. Woohoo. Bayou 95.7. The classic rock of New Orleans. Remember not that long ago on the show, we talked about how Burger King was introducing a meatless Whopper. And I wondered, and it's for health reasons. And I wondered if that was for all the health nuts who eat at Burger King and go get a Whopper, but it's meatless. I guess it kind of tastes like a Whopper without the meat. Kind of looks like a Whopper without the meat. Well, they're not the only ones. The national pizza chain Little Caesars is testing out, they're calling it the Impossible Pizza, meatless sausage. Now, sausage is one of my two favorite things. Sausage and pepperoni are probably my two favorite things to have on a pizza. And I wonder what this would taste like, a meatless sausage on your pizza. It's starting out in Florida. Figures, New Mexico and Washington State, and they think if it sells pretty well, though, they will do it nationally. Now, look, does this taste like sausage? Is it one of these things that, well, I mean, it tastes like sausage, but it's got only the good things part about sausage in it.
What do you think it's going to taste like? Brussels sprouts? I mean, they're going to shoot for sausage. I mean, there are. What's that brand? Morningstar Farms has all of those veggie burger patties, sausage patties. Meatless sausage. I'm using air quotes when I say sausage. Links, patties, all those things. To me, it's just I've told you that that if I had to give up for any reason, give up meat, I would just. I guess for health reasons, I would, but I wouldn't be looking for meat substitutes. I'd go the 180 degrees in the opposite direction. I would be like a rabbit, basically.
See, I haven't
eating
had
lettuce and carrots.
I should go.
Which I should do.
I should go and put my money where my mouth is and go to Burger King and get one of these meatless Whoppers and see what it tastes like. I mean, does it actually taste like a Whopper? It must taste kind of like a Whopper. Well,
I just explained it to you.
Well, meatless sausage is the same way then. Maybe it only has the good part of the meat, the protein in it for you, and it has all the bad part, the fat and the other crap that's not there. They're saying meatless proteins are becoming big in our country.
You're going to die anyway. Just do whatever you want. That's what I do. You're going to die anyway.
That's something we can agree on, Brewster.
Yes.
All right, coming up next. It's our commercial free ride. And I'm going to tell you about the shooting in New Orleans East on Friday that had some people talking and they weren't making much sense.
Right. Stay tuned. You're going to die anyway. There's a promo right there.
Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans' only classic rock. I was just on our website, bayou957.com, looking at the pictures from this past Saturday. Bunch of good pictures up there from our Bash and Boil at Felix's on the lake. It's a really cool place. And I'm looking at these pictures, pretty good stuff. Looking good, Brewster. Looking good over there. Look at that guy.
I was very drunk.
I think we all had a good time. You can tell by those photos. And by the way, if you're over there on our website, bayou957.com. I just put up a pretty interesting new video. I believe it's the world's largest Jell-O pool.
Hmm.
Can you swim in Jell-O? Go find out. Check out this video.
I bet it's harder than you think it is.
It's the tastiest thing you'd ever swim in.
I don't know about that. Those of you who quickly said, "Oh, sure, you can swim in Jell-O." I bet it's harder than you think. You know, that's what they use. They use gelatin to simulate human flesh in ballistics tests. They will fire a weapon into the box. Used to see it on CSI. That's not on anymore. But they would fire that into gelatin. I would say that's probably a consistency that's thicker than the Jell-O that's in this world's largest Jell-O pool. But
be a hell of a workout.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Swimming in a Jell-O pool would be like when baseball players put the batting donuts on the bat.
Right.
And it makes it a lot. You
take it off, it makes it a lot. You think that it's lighter because you've been swinging it with the donut on there. And you know how that works. So this has been physics with
a couple people in radio who weren't good in physics.
Mm-hmm.
So go to our website, bayou957.com. There's all kinds of fun, entertaining stuff up there. I just saw this too. Japanese company is selling a toaster for $270. That this toaster, it only makes one slice of toast at a time. They're saying that it's the perfect piece of toast. You know, most toasters you can buy, you can either have two or four pieces toasting at the same time, and you can get them for like $20.
I've seen eight slice toasters that are used in restaurants often.
But Mitsubishi Electric Company has just rolled out its TOSTIT bread oven. And right now it's in Japan. It's, $230, only one piece of bread to toast, but they say it's the perfect piece of toast. You'll never find a more perfect piece of toast. Yeah, that's what you're paying for, right? And that's just about going to do it for our show. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Ginty is next. Ginty! He's got your music notes at noon. We'll chat again tomorrow morning around 5:30 here on Bayou 95.7.